don't call it selling, because in our industry, we are afraid of selling. Selling often means hard selling, pushing. And that exactly I don't mean. She then told me you better call it helping.
Just before we get started, I want to give a quick thank you to today's sponsor, Caption Concierge, the captioning service with a human connection. Their reliability, speed, and personalized touch are just some of the reasons why I use them for the Hear Me Out podcast. Visit them at livecaptioning.com.au for your next live event and video. Welcome to the Hear Me Out podcast. Thank you for tuning in to episode 17 of the show. Today, we're joined by Oliver von Bostel. He is the founder and CEO of Masters of Business Development. And his work focuses around educating and teaching hearing healthcare professionals about ethical sales and ensuring that they can deliver and provide the services and products to their clients in a safe and effective way. So thank you so much, Oliver, for joining us on the show today.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you for inviting me to tell something about myself and my company. In a nutshell, I started my business in 2006 after a very good career as managing director and CEO of high-tech companies. I felt I want to share my experiences in international business development with my clients. I then built up clients like Lufthansa, Siemens Building Technology, and others. Around 12 years ago, I got in touch with the hearing aid industry. And being a former CEO of a high-tech company, I was amazed by the technical devices which hearing aids are. They have, in the meantime, developed into healthables and wearables, and they can do a lot of things, much, much more than 12 years ago, where the main focus actually was it's amplifying sound. You do a hearing test, you have an audiogram as a hearing instrument specialist, and you just fit the hearing aid according to the audiogram. But since about 3 years, the technical developments went very, very fast. Nowadays, they stream with the smartphones, and they even can detect when you fall. What does that mean for a hearing instrument specialist? It means for a hearing instrument specialist another setting in their assessment meetings. It's the meeting when they for the first time see a client and asking them about need in cases of hearing and in cases of improvement of quality of life. There I have developed my own concept, which I call it's the non-manipulative ethical selling concept.
I think it's really interesting where we're going with the hearing healthcare industry and how we're going to be able to position hearing instruments as a... I've been thinking about this for over the past week, how we're going to be able to position them as a really high-end and luxury Bluetooth headset first, which helps you connect with your phone, with your family, and with everyone else online. And secondly, as a hearing enhancement device for real life. And I think that's really interesting, especially in the situation we are in at the moment, given that a lot of people are having to communicate more online than in person.
Right. The technical features of hearing aids nowadays is on a very, very high level. That's confusing some of the specialists in our business, because they rather see it as an unnecessary feature or function, which has nothing to do anymore with amplifying sound. But on the other side, it's those features and functions are, for quite a lot of end clients, very important functionality they get. It has one major goal to wear hearing aids. It is not only that a client can understand others or hearing sounds, It's much more important is that they can communicate again with others. Since about 4 or 5 years, we have scientific proven facts that if an elderly person doesn't communicate anymore, that it promotes dementia.
Yes.
On the other side, if they get hearing aids in a rather early stage, it might it help them to stay to keep up their cognitive abilities. They communicate with others, and so that means that selling the right hearing aids got much more complicated than it was 5 years ago.
I know there are a lot of benefits with using hearing aids, and a lot more research is coming out into the relationships between hearing loss and dementia and hearing loss and falls. What's your thoughts on selling a device and making your clients educated about those risk factors versus using scare tactics? Because I know you're in the sales world, and I guess a lot of clinicians may get a bit hesitant in using those kind of terminology if they're scared of maybe scaring off their patients or things like that.
Right. And a hearing instrument specialist in the US told me, don't call it selling, because in our industry, we are afraid of selling. Selling often means hard selling, pushing. And that exactly I don't mean. She then told me, you better call it helping. And I said, right. That's in my training workshop always an issue. There was a smart guy, he said, stop selling, start helping. And that's what I tell them. Do not sell, help the client with one major goal. It's to improve the quality of life of the client, and sometimes much more important, improve the quality of life of the spouse, other family members. That's why in my concept, it stays central that hearing instrument specialist only has to advise the individual best and most optimal hearing aid solution. I don't call them hearing aids. I call it a hearing solution, because often understanding the television, for instance, is a major issue of the most of the clients. Because spouse is annoyed because the television stands very hard, disturbing other family members. But putting the volume lower means the client cannot understand it anymore. On the other side, features like filtering noises is a very, very important feature, but it's only in advanced hearing aids. It's an advanced technology. But very, very important, because the number one need 80% of the clients have is understanding language in complex environments, which the linear recta has to do with social engagement. And that's right, the problem most of the clients have. They sort or avoid communications because they don't understand others, and vice versa, others, spouse, family members, children, grandchildren, etc., don't talk with the client in question anymore because daddy or grandpa or grandma or mommy doesn't understand us if we tell her something or him, or we get the wrong answer. And that's the number one problem they have. It's the social isolation, which they on which they get used to, because most of the client thinks it's normal, or yeah, don't hear them anyway, so I don't communication. And I tell you a very nice story. which I have in, I know a Dutch guy. I met a Dutch guy in January when I was in Melbourne. His name is Jan. He is 92 years old, and he has a brain functionality like a young guy like you, Mark. He's very smart. I was amazed that he started to talk about quantum mechanics and the Egyptian pyramids, and they asked me, why are you interested in that? And he said, just because I don't have anything to do. But the problem was, Jan was wearing old hearing aids. And I saw that immediately, because met him on a family gathering. He couldn't communicate without lip reading. He could not understand others.
Yes.
But the effect was like that is in every similar situation around the globe. Also, the other family members, especially the younger ones, avoided communication with Jan.
Yes.
And that's bad. It's very bad. It's almost pathetic. But it happens. So I advised Jan, go and see a skilled professional, a hearing aid dispenser in Melbourne somewhere, and ask him about what he would advise as individual best and most optimal hearing aid solution. So a couple of weeks ago, I got a WhatsApp from Jan, and he told me, I've bought an advanced hearing aid. It was very expensive, he said, but he said, I'm amazed that I can call with my smartphone and the hearing aid. Even more, he told me, I've got another life, because family members seek the communication with me. So, with other words, the hearing aid specialist understood to give Jan the right advices and improve the quality of life of Jan. And more important, actually, the hearing aid specialist helped Jan, or helped family members, to improve their quality of life when it comes the communication with Jan.
Yeah. And that seems like a very common story in a lot of people with hearing aids. They're not very satisfied. They're getting the lowest end one, often free, especially in Australia with the hearing services program. A lot of elderly people with on the pensioners can get free hearing aids. What are some of the major issues you've seen and the major challenges audiologists faced when trying to upsell or when they are trying to let the client know that there are better options, and that if they have trouble in noise, lower end technology most likely won't solve their problems?
Yeah, I understand. Look, the problem is everywhere, almost in every country, the same. Also in Europe, the Medicare, the health insurance pays hearing aids, which means that the end client sometimes gets them for free or has to do a small contribution. But all those lower price, low cost or for free hearing aids are on a very low technical level. And that's the biggest challenge for the hearing instrument specialist, to convince with arguments and facts, to convince an end client that he is better off if he invests in an advanced hearing aid solution. But the problem is on two sides, because the industry, the hearing aid dispensers, they are under pressure to get around, to make money.
Yep.
And that made that quite a lot of them, they just sell. They actually like, you want a free hearing aids? Okay, here you are. Although they, as experts, as specialists, as I call them, should know a client needs. Okay, let's be fair. Some of the clients are helped with a very simple solution. But since about 10 years, I do personal coaching of hearing instruments specialists live on the job. So I have a 10-year track record in assessment meeting with clients. And that's why I know that 80% of the clients need an advanced hearing aid solution to be able to communicate in noisy environments, we call it complex environments. And I also know that the clients which come for an exchange of their old hearing aids, that almost all which had a Medicare device or a cheap device, complain it doesn't work on parties, on complex, on environments. And quite a lot of them tell me when I go to a party or a family gathering, I don't take them with me because they don't help.
Yes.
That's the problem, because they were believed this is a good hearing aid device, which they are, but if they don't help a client really to lead conversations again, it's worthless.
Hey, podcast listeners, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the podcast. It means the absolute world to me. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, Caption Concierge, the captioning service with human connection. They are committed to increasing accessibility for deaf and hard of hearing individuals through live captions and video subtitles. And their amazing customer service, accuracy, and speed of delivery set them apart from the competition and are just some of the reasons why I chose them for this podcast. Head over to livecaptioning.com.au for your next live event and video. Yeah, and our goal as audiologists should be to, in order to overcome those dementia problems and in order to regain social interaction, most of the social interaction is during group settings. Like, if you want to, like, most of them do not have that much issue when they're talking to their spouse one-on-one in quiet. So the hearing aid doesn't even solve much of the problem outside of the house, let alone inside the house.
Exactly. And that the problem lies there, that actually hearing instrument specialists are weak in selling skills, because if they work for rather bigger chains, they actually quite often are forced just sell. We need the figures. We need the number of units sold per week, and we need a turnover. Unfortunately, they just do. It's sad. But they also see if I have to sell, I might manipulate them. So I help them forget the selling part, think about the helping part. So don't just do the client wants, because we all don't want too much, want to spend too much money. But interesting is that all of us, if we are convinced of a solution, we see advantages and we know what the advantages mean to us, we might spend the money. And that's exactly the point they have to learn. They have to ask clients open-ended questions about their life situation, about the needs, about hidden needs the client and or spouse is not aware of. Once they do so, they get so much information from the client and or from spouse that they can do the respective best advice they can do to help the client and or spouse.
Have you seen more clinics over the past 10 years loaning out demo model hearing aids for their clients?
Yeah, I have almost all clients I have do it like that. They do an advice, they ask open-ended questions, they do a professional hearing test, language test, bone conducting test, and so on. and then give an advice. Some of them let a client try the insurance model and an advanced model. And in the majority of the cases, more than two-thirds, the clients are convinced of the advanced hearing aid solution. And I advise them, don't talk about prices, talk about the solution. So if you let test them two different devices, don't tell them which is the cheaper one or which is the advanced one. Let the client find out. And that's interesting that the minority is happy with the rather simple technical hearing aid device. The majority confirms this is much better. It has the much nicer sound. I hear others much better, and.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. It has nothing to do with sell. It has to do with facts. Facts. The clients tell me and tell the hearing instrument specialist.
Which goes back to what you were saying before about finding hidden needs. You're allowing the clients to find their own hidden needs by using the more advanced devices. And then when they do try the lower end, they can really see the disparity between the two solutions. And if they can't afford or don't want to spend the money on the more expensive device, they still know that in the future, if they want to upgrade, that there is a better solution which may suit their situation better.
Of course, nobody wants to spend a hell of a lot of money, and hearing aid expensive. It's the same in Holland, same in Germany, in Australia, or in the US. They cost a lot of money. But if a client also only sees the amount he has to spend and he doesn't see the advantages he gets and his spouse gets and what these advantages they get mean for them in improving their life, quality of life, they will not say, okay, I invest $10,000 or $12,000. But vice versa, it is so if a hearing instrument specialist convinces them about the advantages they get and what impact that has on their life, most of them are able or willing, okay, it's a hell of a lot of money, but we do it. The hearing instrument specialist has to earn money, because he has to deliver services for free for the coming 3 to 5 years per client. That's an absolute must in my understanding, because if the client paid the bill, the relationship is not over. It's just the beginning of a long-term good relationship hearing instrument specialist with the client. Because they need maintenance, they need a refitting, they have questions, they are traveling, it's not functioning. I always tell them, the hearing instrument specialist, look, if I'm traveling, I'm wearing hearing aids myself, if I'm traveling and I'm on the Hong Kong airport, and I cannot understand the clerk behind the desk because of the noise or the echoes, all I want is I want to understand that person. So I would like to get in face-to-face contact with my expert. So please help me. And that's possible. There's no problem anymore nowadays. Some call it telecare, others call it remote services. But what I want to say with that, if you bought hearing aids, if you trusted the hearing instrument specialists, it's just the beginning of a good relationship, because the client needs those services. So that means that cannot be for free.
Yeah, and from speaking with Caitlin Barr, who I know you know, on episode 2 of the podcast, it was really evident that Our relationship with our clients is not just for one single sale of a hearing aid. Very similar to when we buy a car, we would often go back to the same dealer and have the same relationship. Or if we're selling a house or buying a house, we'll go back to that same person to go get that ongoing service. And with a lot of these people, they won't be just buying one hearing aid. They'll be buying three or four over the next 20, 30 years as they age. And if we're able to be memorable, and if we're able to keep top of mind awareness when they're coming to buy a new hearing aid 3 to 5 years down the track, then we can continue making good business.
Exactly. That's very important in the business, that I think 80% of the hearing instruments specialists, I can inspire, motivate, switch your role, as I call it. It's from reactive to proactive. That means reactive selling person stands symbolically behind the desk. Client comes in, salesperson asks, what can I do for you? I need hearing aids, but I don't want to pay too much. So, okay, here you are. Do you pay cash or a credit card? And the deal is round. But the proactive role is not look at a model price or brand or whatsoever, but as an expert, first ask open-ended questions, such like very general, may I ask you, what do you do in your spare time? Or what are your social engagements? Or tell me, what is your favorite television program? If they tell the expert about such things, the expert learns a lot what the client's life or spouse life is about in order to do the right recommendation. Look, I compare that with glasses. You are wearing glasses. I'm wearing glasses. I still buy them at the independent optician. Where I know, it's much, much more expensive there than it is when I go to a chain. There are chains, they offer you glasses, buy one, and you get two others for free.
Yeah.
But all of us know there must be a difference. If you get something for free, it might be not the top high-end brand or value or whatsoever. And more important, probably not the services I expect. So I go to an optician and I know it costs me much more there, but I ground it because I trust the expert. If an expert helped me, I always go back to the same. But when we buy glasses, it must be 100% sharp. We would not accept a compromise whatsoever that they are okay, they are much cheaper, but they are not so sharp. We would not buy that. So why do they do it with hearing aids? Why do they sell hearing aids as experts? And they know it's not the individual best, most optimal solution for that end client. It's often motivated in, I don't know, I just do what they want me to do. And I turn that symbolically around. The goal is of every expert is that he creates fans like Jan. Jan recommends that hearing instrument specialist now to others. Regardless of the price he has paid, he has probably paid $12,000, I think. He has really a top high-end model, but he is so happy with it. His family members as well. He's a widow. His family members as well. So that he recommends that very hearing instrument specialist to others. And that's the top goal of everything, especially in the medical industry.
And that means that instead of the audiologists justifying the price, your fans justify the price.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Let them talk how satisfied they are and how good you are. Recommending you as a specialist to others, I call that that's pure business development. That's the optimum you can get, and actually that's what every company owner, every salesperson wants.
Which is really important for the whole industry, because at the moment we're only targeting maybe 20-30% of the population of people with a hearing loss who need a hearing aid. We're only targeting 20-30%. And if we're able to build that trust with our customers, build fans of fans, that will be a really important step for the whole industry to ensure that everyone who needs hearing instruments or hearing solutions are getting it.
Right, right. And that puts up the challenge with many experts, because they... It's the same I use. We just do what the client wants. And there are chains, they stunt prices and with actions, discount, sale. And the independent hearing aid dispensers has a problem with that, because they think if they lower the price, we also have to lower the price. They often ask me, Oliver, what do you think? Are we too expensive? Should we lower the price? I always say, no, don't lower the price. Put the price up. Oh, how come? Then we lose all the clients. That's not true. Because in that business, it's not about price shopping. It's about helping. And I explain them then what I mean, how I mean that with putting up the price. I mean, you cannot just put up the price. That's for sure. It has a certain upper level in a market or in a region. But be brave enough, be professional enough as an entrepreneur that you sell your prices. Don't lower the prices, sell. You have to convince a client, why is that my price? Explain them what they get for it. Not only the devices, the brands, the model, but especially the services. And that helps a lot. Go away from price discussions. No salesperson, regardless of the industry, they don't like price discussions. But if they convince clients with what they get, with advantages and what they mean for them, especially in regarding improving of quality of life, the price discussion is away because you talk about something else.
Yeah. Do you see that clinicians have a lot of trouble justifying what their time is worth? Do you think most clinicians know what their time is worth?
No, most of them are not aware of it. They're not aware of it. That's why they have to switch thinking. Like my discussion with Caitlin Barr as well. It's not about the features and functions of a model. It's really about, it's much, much more. It's what I call the total package they get. Advantages, what it means for them, the hearing aid solution with or without microphone, external microphones or TV streaming devices or whatsoever. But in that same package must be a total individual package for the client, which we call services. Yeah. You know, COVID-19, the situation is a bit less in Australia than it is in Europe, but you have a lockdown, we have a lockdown, and that made the total industry resetting their services. Namely, they were not allowed for almost 2 months here in Europe to see clients. So they had to approach them remote. Zoom meeting, Skype, telecare, remote services. And they told me, that works much, much better than we thought. We know for 3 years now that there is a functionality called telecare, even with face-to-face contact, but they didn't use it. You can help your client if you want, if you define that as a service package, 24/7. Yeah. And nobody needs it. I'm not sure about that. Especially my age and younger, they don't want to go to a shop again and again in the town or in the village if receivers are full of earwax. Or if something doesn't function. Since I wear my hearing aids myself, I know how sensitive they are when it comes to the functionality. So you once you bought them, you are not done. You will see the hearing instrument specialist quite often.
And if the hearing aids are working in the ways they should be, you will definitely notice when they're not working.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And the arrogance of some in the industry is, yeah, we are closed 5:30, and if they have a problem, they have to go see us next week because the agenda is full. I say, wait a minute. You sold them hearing aids because they need it for the improvement of the quality of life or to communicate, and now you tell them, stop your communication until next week Thursday, then I have time for you. That's not what I mean. I also know you cannot be there every minute for the client, but define a very, very professional package of services, because that helps the independent also distinguish his business from others,
yes,
which will be positive for the word-of-mouth recommendation.
I think it's really, so I'm currently doing my final year master's thesis on teleaudiology, and I've been finding that, especially in Australia, a lot of the clinics are going back to normal practice, and I don't think it's going to progress as fast as we expected, especially in Australia. I think Europe and America, because the conditions quite a lot more severe, telecare is going to be more well integrated. But I think it's going to be a really important differentiating factor for businesses to set themselves apart from other clinics.
Right, right. And they have to. Since I'm a salesperson and started my career in sales in 1980 with an American company in Switzerland, this American company was with a world patent alone in the market. Everyone wanted to have those high-tech products. But those times are over. So what that means that every business has to struggle with competitors. It's almost like, it's not what Darwin said, the fittest will survive and evaluate. No, it's those in business survive which are able to adapt to new circumstances. So that's what they have to learn in the market. What do I have to do? Am I on an autopilot? I just do it like the past 20 years. They will not survive.
Yeah.
But those who continually work on their business philosophy, strategy, and services, they grow. And I can prove that because of my engagement in the industry the past 12 years. One thing I want to mention, Mark, is a fact like the specialist normally looks into the ears of a client, asks medical questions. One question is, do you hear a sound in your ears called tinnitus? And most of the clients said yes. Some say no. Those clients who say yes, there is my experience that the hearing aid specialist does nothing with that statement.
Yes.
On the other, and that's a pity, because the nowadays advanced hearing aid solutions Also, what I wear have excellent tinnitus maskers, as they call it here. Hardly any hearing instrument specialist is selling that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, helping clients. They just, and it comes because, they think it's just a feature. They don't like it, or they don't know how it works.
Yeah. And I think it's really important. I was speaking with a trainer from Starkey the other week on the podcast. I think it's really important that clinicians are using the devices that they're selling, going through the apps, seeing what works, what doesn't, how to use certain features, maybe one feature each week, in order to really figure out what works and what doesn't work and how to help your client when they have issues with the technology.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point I want to go to is since I wear the Starkey Livio AI and I also have the Stiletto X, since I wear them myself, I have a very slight hearing loss. But since I wear them, I know what it is. Even in coachings or trainings, I sometimes get my sound, my tinnitus in my ears, which disturbs me. And I go to the app. The customer or the hearing aid specialist doesn't see it. I go to the app and switch the masker on. And within a minute, I don't hear that sound again. So I always thought that works very, very fine with me. So why? There are a lot of clients who would be satisfied if they got informed that this is a functionality, a very, very, very good functionality in advanced hearing aid solutions. So my mission is I try to inspire, motivate hearing aid specialists, wear the hearing aids yourself because for two positive effects. They learn themselves how the functionality is, how their own experience is, how to use the app, how to explain the apps to end clients. And the second positive thing with that is if they wear hearing aids themselves, they put down themselves the barrier of the stigmatization of hearing aids. Because regardless that a younger person like you, Mark, they say, no, I don't need them, I don't wear them. But those who do, it has a very positive effect to the end client. They see, oh, now I see you are wearing them yourself. And I like the color, it's white.
Yeah.
And the hearing aid specialist still thinks, oh, they must be invisible. They must not be white.
I think so. I'm very excited for when I can have hearing aids in my ears because I think hearing aids have been designed for 14 to 16 hours of use every day.
Exactly.
And they don't have much occlusion and they don't have the fatigue which comes with Bluetooth headsets. If I had the choice today, I would buy myself a hearing aid, but I don't have $5,000 to $10,000 today to get one myself because it's a really, like what I was saying before, it's a really good Bluetooth headset, first of all, which allows you to take calls, listen to music 24/7 almost. And secondly, it can help you understand better speech and noise. It can help you. I'm connected with the TV and all of that. And I think that's where we're moving. If we're able to pose hearing aids as a luxury Bluetooth headset, which can be used 16 to 18 hours with almost unlimited battery, I think that's going to be a really exciting space that we're going to be going into. And we're going to, and a really interesting solution that we're going to be able to pose to our clients.
Exactly. That's also my opinion. It's not a luxury thing. It's really about helping an individual person to improve certain issues. And what I tell them always is, if you are blind, totally blind, but you can still hear, you can communicate. You can even hear, distinguish directions where a sound comes from. But if you are totally deaf, but you have still your eyes handicapped, because you can communicate anymore. You might lip reading, but you don't hear sounds coming from a direction. You know more about that than I do. So what I want to say with that is, what I claim as a non-audiology expert is, the ears are much more important than your eyes. Of course, both are important. But that's my mission with the job I do, to inspire, to motivate the expert. Don't regard hearing aid solution as a luxury issue. They have a price, but you have to sell the price. You don't have to. What the mistake they do, they don't know open-ended question to ask. Some of them have a certain arrogancy. I'm the doctor and you have to answer my question, which are closed questions. And the biggest handicap they have is that all of the clients don't want to spend money. So just give them what they want. And that's the contrary thing of that is that it doesn't create fans. It's the opposite. Two-thirds of them complain. It doesn't help. Although I paid a small contribution, it's worthless. It beeps. It hurts in my ears, but it was expensive. So that's not the solution which really helped them. On the other side, there are clients also in Australia, in Holland, in Austria, in the US. They can't afford that money. So obviously, Jan, with his 92 years, he was in a position to pay $12,000. Good for him. Good for the hearing aid specialist, because he has to earn money and serve his Jan as long as he lives. On the other side, I helped my clients think about financial models. That's a part of the services. If really somebody cannot afford it, but he needs it to improve his life, quality of life, so think further than that. Help them come up with a leasing solution which we have here in Europe. Partial payment, pay me 25%, and then the next 3 years the rest, something like that. That also will create fans.
That's super interesting. I think financing is really interesting, especially since hearing aids are often the third most expensive purchase in a person's life after their house and their car. And both of those things have financing options because they are significant amounts of money. And since a hearing aid does cost quite a significant amount of money, clinics should give patients that option.
They should, yes. Yes, they should. They should come up. They will have to, because it also has to do with extending their service packages and distinguish themselves from others, which are price dumpers. It's very interesting. When it comes to smartphones, we have no problem to finance them. Even me, I don't buy them. I always have a 24-month contract, and the money is every month deducted from my bank account. And the majority of people in Europe is doing so. So that has become for us very, very normal. But when it comes to a health level, a cognitive functionality, we tend to think that must be for free, or $1,000 is enough, otherwise it's too expensive. But it's much more important than having a smartphone. So these are the messages I bring to the specialists. So switch your attitude.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Oliver, for joining us today. For a new student who's coming out of university, what would be the number one piece of advice you would give them in stepping out into hearing aid, the world of hearing aids?
Good question. It reminds me when I was a guy in your age, what I'm going to do with my life now. So think about it, what you want to do. What is your dream job? I always wanted to become managing director myself, but when I was 20, 24, I didn't know how to do that. So I just did it. Just had my vision, had my way, I followed. It started with what I told you, my first job with an American company in Switzerland. Doesn't have to be an American company, but I felt that's a dream job. I want to have that job, and I got it. And that led me to other jobs, and finally I reached my target, what I wanted, to become managing director. CEO of a high-tech company. So my advice to you is, you are a very bright kid, a smart guy in what you do. I'm amazed what you do, Mark. Really, compliment. So you have a certain value in the market. The market needs experts like you. According to me, you have three different main options to do. First of all, you look for a career in a medical environment like university or hospital. Second is, you search a challenge at the producer. And one of the famous names, Starkey, I admire Starkey, I admire Sivantos, but there are a lot of others. They need experts like you, which think out of the box. The other side, you are a very valuable person also for in the dispenser industry. My advice is don't join a big chain because it's price counters. And you are much more worse than that. So your value is that you help others in improving their business, in spreading my mission further, which I call it's about improvement of quality of life.
Awesome.
Does that help you?
Yes, definitely. I think. Thank you so much for.
And I will approach. I know the Sivantos managing director in Australia, and I know the managing director of Starkey. I will approach both. After I have received a copy of the podcast, I will approach both and ask them, send Mark a demo set of high-end hearing aid. Organize the fitting and you will create a fan.
Wow.
That's amazing. I will do that for you, Mark, because I think that's very, very important for everyone in the hearing aid industry that they wear themselves. Not they tell me, yeah, I tested them and I asked them for how long. They say a day or 2 days or a week. I said, no, that's not what I mean. It's 24/7. Don't have to sleep with them. But what I mean is wear them 2 or 3 months. Just then you have an experience, you have an own opinion about what I always call about the goodies and the baddies about the hearing aid solution.
You know it then, like the back of your hand. So yeah, that exactly. You're able to teach it like the back of your hand.
Yeah. And then they also know how valuable the apps are. The app has nothing to do with an audiogram. But that's why the hearing aid specialist tends to think, it's just an app. Every brand has it, and it's just a nitty-gritty thing, but not valuable. It's one of the most valuable things. That when I'm in a certain situation, I activate another program. Nowadays, the hearing aids can recognize via GPS or location and switch on that respective program. Still, for a lot of the experts, this is just a feature and function. But for me and a lot of others, it's a very, very valuable function I nowadays don't want to miss. So they'll talk to them, Mark.
Well, thank you very much. It is, I really appreciate that. Yeah, thank you so much, Oliver, for joining us today.
Welcome.
I think your business model and your model of training is really important. And I think, and I love that everything that you do is focused around providing value and providing as many focused and tailored options as possible for your clients so that they're able to receive the hearing and the quality of life back that they deserve. Because I don't think we're doing a good enough job at the moment. And I think there's a lot more of a way for the industry to grow. So I'm excited for how we're going to be working together in the future. I'm excited for how this industry is going to be changing and developing in the next few years. And I really want to thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Mark. It was my pleasure being in your podcast. I admire what you do. And let's keep connected.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Oliver.
You're welcome.